Thank you. The word of God for our meditation from John chapter 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Peter, James, and John had an amazing experience on that mountain of transfiguration. They saw Jesus transformed before them, bright and shining like the sun. They turned away their eyes. It was too brilliant. But this Jesus, who here lets his disciples glimpse his divine glory, was also their dear and kind teacher and friend who had been with them for 3 years, explaining the scriptures and preparing them for his coming suffering, death, and rising again. Our text from John perhaps alludes to that transfiguration with the words, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. For us to understand who God is and who God the Father is, we need to look at his Son, sent to us in our human flesh. Jesus teaches us what God wants for us and what God wants to do for us. Sometimes we think about God like a rich uncle we wish we had. Maybe I can ask him for this. He's got lots of money. He'll get this for me. And besides, Jesus in our text says, whatever you ask, I will do. If you ask anything, I will do it. And so our list gets started. I'd like a new car, an A in biology, free textbooks, a vacation in Hawaii, winning the lottery. But wait a minute. Is that what Jesus promised? Is that really what he said? No, he didn't say, whatever you ask, I will do. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. God is not a free ATM machine. Sometimes if we keep God at a distance, it seems that we can make outrageous and unreasonable requests. And then we can delude ourselves into thinking, well, see, God really doesn't care about me. God really isn't all that powerful. But when we know God, who comes to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, to rescue and redeem us from eternal condemnation, we know God more realistically. We know that God is all-powerful and that God does want all good things for us. But would you really go up to Jesus, shake his hand, and say, give me $1 million? Would you pray, dear God, I ask in the name of Jesus, give me $1 million? When we know who Jesus really is and what he does for us, we bring genuine requests for things that are useful to us for this life and necessary for us, and things that prepare us for the life to come, things that will promote the kingdom of God and his eternal glory. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. When we ask for things in Jesus' name, we're asking God to give them to us because Jesus suffered and died to pay for our sins. What things are worth that? Jesus himself teaches us, may your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us our daily food. Forgive our trespasses. Deliver us from evil. Bring us to heaven. Some of those things are very plain and simple everyday things, daily bread. And some are eternally powerful, forgiveness of sins, deliverance from evil. We do not deserve any of those things. We are selfish sinners who rebel against God every day. But God is our dear and loving Father and Creator. He wants us to have what is necessary for this life and the next. Even though we should not look at God as a wishing well, we should not be afraid to bring both our smallest and our greatest concerns to him in prayer. Lord, give me strength to get through this busy day. God, help me to study so I can do better on this test. Heavenly Father, teach me to be patient with my friends and family and roommates. Help me to overcome temptation and sin, and forgive me when I fail. Keep me strong in faith so that I may be in heaven someday. Does God hear such simple prayers? For sure. Do these things come to us because of Jesus' suffering and death? Certainly. Do these things give glory to God through his Son Jesus? Without a doubt. God hears and answers all our requests, not because of our eloquent and fervent praying, but because of his infinite mercy and kindness. He answers in the way that is best for us, sometimes now, sometimes no, sometimes with more than we request. Think of Jesus on that mountaintop, gleaming bright like the sun, and then consider him dying and bleeding on the cross. Do you dare approach him with your request? If he loves you enough to die for you, he surely cares about what happens to you in everyday life, and he wants to share with you his heavenly home. His kindness, his grace and mercy are overwhelming. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he will do it for the glory of his Father. That takes away all our worry and doubt and sorrow, because Jesus instead gives us hope and certainty and eternal joy. Someday we too, like Peter, James, and John, will see Jesus shining in his heavenly glory, and we will approach him face to face without fear, but in hope and thanks and adoration. Amen. Let us pray. O my crucified Lord Jesus Christ, as the patient Lamb of God, you suffered for me the most shameful death on the cross, and with your precious blood you redeemed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. I pray you to give me the assurance of this redemption through your word and sacraments, and to direct my heart to your Holy Spirit. Preserve me with your divine love, and hide me this day, both body and soul, in your holy wounds. Wash me from all my sins, teach me to live a life of good works, and at the end lead me from this world of sorrow to your eternal joy and glory. Hear me, my faithful Savior, my only comfort, my hope and life, my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.